Mere conservatism.
I'm Cleve Walker, and David Perry's in the house.
Hey,
Cleve. I love it when you're actually here.
Oh, me too. I love, yeah.
This is Mere Conservatism, and man, oh man, are there some things going on, bro?
Are there?
Yeah,
there are. All I know is that the Braves have are tied for the best record in baseball, I believe.
I believe they did pretty good last year along that score, too.
Yeah.
And then we know how that turned out.
Big Braves fan. In fact, one of my coworkers today was wearing a Red Sox jacket, and I almost power bombed him right in the middle of the office.
How dare he? Oh my goodness!
Yeah, well, what are you thinking, man?
You got to learn to forgive him. Well, there are good things and bad things happening, but then isn't that the way of life anyway? There are good, that's good and bad going on. Sometimes it just seems like there's more bad. Or that bad is badder than the good is gooder. That's not the way I want to
say. Well, we focus on the bad, right? Because we want to fix it.
Yeah,
it's something we need to do. It's a problem we need to solve. So we focus on that and we talk about that. God is always working, though.
Yeah,
which is an awesome thing and a good thing to remember.
It's funny you
and
bring
be
that
reminded
up.
Of, yeah,
because I was thinking about God in terms of bad and good things happening. That one verse that we all know so well and quote all the time, but I'm beginning to realize we don't really always believe it. Romans 8:28, when it says that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beginning to realize it doesn't say all good things or all nice things or all blessings even. It said all things work together for the good. I think we forget that.
Even the bad stuff.
Even the bad stuff.
You know.
Even the bad stuff.
We don't want to hear that. We don't want to accept that. It's really hard going through life when things don't turn out the way you want them to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had this discussion with my wife recently because we were in a Bible study. And when we go to a Bible study together, I always, my wife and I always discuss it afterwards. And
I think it's cool.
And so we were talking about this particular Bible study, and I said, I just didn't, it was on a passage that can be somewhat controversial and somewhat hard. It's one of those hard sayings that's mm-hmm. in the Bible. And I won't say exactly what it is, but I said, you know, I feel like every time we get to a passage like this, there's a tendency to try to soften it. And there's a tendency to try to explain it away mm-hmm. and what it really means and try to make it a little more palatable than maybe what it appears to be at first blush in the text. And I told her, I said, I'm really tired of that. I wish that sometimes I'm not criticizing, you know, anybody involved in this situation, but I just wish sometimes we would read a hard text in Scripture and say, that's hard, but that's what it says.
Okay.
And really grapple with the difficulty of it instead of trying to find a way to explain it so that it's just a little more palatable to
smooth
us.
It out a little bit. Take off the rough
maybe
edges.
That's just my personality. I tend to maybe be a little rough and a little more in your face about things, but that is, we do tend to do that,
yeah,
don't we?
No, I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. And that's why I brought up that verse, because I was reading about the story of Joseph again. I mean, there's a guy, Joseph, his brothers beat him up, throw him into a pit, end up selling him as a slave.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up working and eventually being falsely accused by his slave owner, who has him thrown into prison. And I mean, I'm looking at all that and saying, you know, that was terrible what was happening to him. But years later, he finds out all that happened so that he would end up in Egypt, where God promoted him in spite of all of the bad stuff. And he was there to save the lives of his entire family because he was second to Pharaoh. So mm-hmm. all that bad stuff, and even Joseph himself concluded it that way. He said, talking to his brothers, remember when they thought he was going to kill him? Because now he had him in his power. But he said, you intended it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring it up because we're going to talk about some stuff that ain't good. A lot of times that's all it seems like we're talking about. But in the perspective of people of faith, which you and I are, before we are conservative, GOP, or political people, we are men of faith and really believe the word of God, whether it's hard or not. And we got to believe this, that all these things, even the bad ones, even the crisis situations, will work out together for good. But the condition is loving God, okay, and being called according to his purpose. All right, enough said of that. But so hopefully that'll take some of the edge off what we're going to talk about. Police removed anti-Israel protesters from Columbia University's campus in New York this past Thursday after the demonstrating students set up an encampment on the campus lawn. Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq, I don't even know if that's her real name, but I did my best trying to say it. She sent a message to the student body saying that all these steps that I'm taking right now are necessary because of extraordinary circumstances. And she said the protesters had violated a long list of rules and policies. So she's going to do stuff to punish them, whatever that is. And all this comes after pro-Palestinian protesters blocked traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge in California. I mean, it was a log jam. Okay. Now, that's awful. But I see a silver lining behind all that. Can you guess what because you know me well, why do I see a silver lining in all this unrest and chaos caused by these pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel people? What silver lining could I see?
You are an eternal optimist. So you do always see the silver lining. Silver lining is that they were held accountable by one of their own, the president of Colombia, realizing that it's a little, that it's getting out of hand.
Well, she would just happen to be before Congress, by the way.
Oh.
Herself. I mean, remember the other Harvard and Yale presidents?
Oh, she was there too?
Yes. Matter of fact, that's where she was when she made this announcement.
Interesting.
So I think she felt she better do something because what happened to the other two, they ended up being fired. That's part of it. Let me tell you why. I didn't let you weigh on it. This is happening to them. I mean, this is their movement. When I say them, I'm talking about the Democrats and progressives. This is spawned from their movement. These people are not willing to compromise or be satiated or settle. They're saying, we want what we want and we want it now. And so they're attacking their own. They're eating their own, David.
Well, this is a very common characteristic of Marxism.
Yeah, good point.
This always happens because they're a perpetual revolution is necessary.
They need unrest.
They have to. It's a perpetual revolution. And so when the left holds all the power, isn't it funny? The left in our society holds all the cards, basically, when it comes to our culture. Yet they talk about systematic racism and systematic oppression and stuff like that. So it follows that if there's systematic oppression and the controllers of the system are all on the left, people on the left are going to start to feel the revolution themselves. And again, this always happens. This happens in all these countries that do this Marxist experiment. And so right now, obviously, the president of Columbia University is going to be on the left, and they are being targeted now.
Right, the way they wanted us to be targeted. Mm-hmm.
Conservatives, we don't have power.
Right, I got you.
Conservatives are not in a seat of power now, which is why the people who are in power, first of all, are being corrupted because that's what power does. But also, they're now the focus of the ire of these Marxist people that they have raised to be this way.
But here's the silver part of the silver lining. These people are telling Joe Biden, we're not going to vote for you. We're not going to support you because as bad as Joe is in his support for Israel, and believe me, he's mighty bad, he's not nearly hard enough on Israel. And they mean it because they will not vote for him. So that's one thing. They're not going to vote for Trump, but Biden cannot afford anybody not to vote for him. And the other thing is there are people now who are so incensed at what these folks are doing. They were not pro-Trump people to begin with, but many of them are saying, I don't want anything to do with that. I mean, those people on the Golden Gate Bridge couldn't get to work, couldn't get home to their families. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not feeling nice about the situation.
And those are all Democrats, too, by the way. People crossing the Golden Gate Bridge, for the most part, are Democrats. Joe Biden is kind of in a bad spot because he's beholden to his radical base. That's these people that are protesting. He doesn't feel like he can cross them. But this is another example of Donald Trump being more in the middle on this kind of thing, because Donald Trump is somewhat of a, when it comes to foreign stuff, he's not exactly a hawk.
Okay? Not at all.
He's not exactly Lindsey Graham on this stuff or John McCain. So in this situation, he looks more moderate than Joe Biden, even though Biden is saying he's supporting Israel supposedly, but at the same time, he's saying don't go into don't go into Haifa, which is the wrong place. He's talking about Rafah.
Right.
Don't go into Rafah. And he's demanding a he hasn't demanded a ceasefire. Let me say the right things. Okay. I don't want to paint. He wants a ceasefire, but he can't come right out and say that. He's trying to toe the line here. By somewhat supporting Israel, but also not ticking off the left. But he is ticking off the left.
I'm going to say he's ticking off both sides. Mm-hmm. He's ticking off our side. He's ticking off their. I mean, this is what happens. And it's a good thing because, unfortunately, and again, I don't like unrest. I don't want to see civil unrest like this. But the good part behind it is it's bringing people who might have remained neutral, or folks who might have said, I still can't vote for Trump. They're saying this is the folks who are part of the progressive and the Democrats movement. I want no part of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing.
And right. And again, these people that are protesting, they're not going to get up and go vote for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. But what they might do is not vote.
Yes.
Because these college students are already low propensity voters. Mm-hmm. They actually don't need a lot to keep them home
right.
on election day. And so the enthusiasm could shrink, and that could really help Donald Trump.
It would shrink, for sure. So there is that. And not only that, but the blowback on these colleges like Columbia and Yale and Harvard and everything, that's a good thing too, because they have become hotbeds of anti-Semitism, mm-hmm. as well as the worst kind of enlightened and progressive thought. And now their fortitude is being threatened. They're being exposed for what they are. I really see God in this, because when God begins to answer prayer as far as the culture is concerned and as far as how that impacts his people are concerned, I'm talking about Christians now, not just Americans. One of the things he does, he opens the curtains on what's happening. He reveals the plans and the conspiracies for all to see. And we're seeing it mm-hmm. big time. I've talked to folks who said, looking at what Trump is happening right now, I'm talking about Democrat black friends of mine. I'm a black man, for those who are not familiar with this program. And they're saying, Cleve, I'm not a Republican or anything close to you, but even I can see that what they're doing with Trump is that, he says, this ain't right. He says, this is weird. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying the veil is being pulled off all the stuff they're doing because they're going for broke.
Well, one thing I will say about biblical principles, one thing in their favor is that oftentimes they just work. So one of the things that leftists realize, and people start to realize when they watch people do leftist things like these universities have done, is that this isn't working. This doesn't work. It's not workable
right.
to have these people, students, having so much power over how the university is run and being able to stop traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge. It just doesn't work. And so biblical principles, they actually practically in real time, they actually tend to work for people. If you want to lead a flourishing life, mm-hmm. you will follow a lot of the principles that are in Scripture. That's just, it's kind of a byproduct of doing what God says to do. Even if you don't believe in God, if you follow a lot of these, what we would think of as traditional values, they're traditional values they've become traditions for a reason. It's because they work.
They worked.
And it leads to a flourishing life. And so when you get rid of those principles, things don't work as well. Right. And reality smacks you in the face eventually. Now, people do this in several different ways. Some people try to get rid of God but keep the values. That crumbles. It doesn't work
eventually,
over time.
Right.
Now, it'll work for a little while.
Yes, it will.
I heard the analogy of like a cut flower. Mm. Where you cut a flower and it's beautiful and it looks good, you could put it in a vase, but eventually it starts to wilt and die.
Right.
The only way to keep that flower from dying is to leave it on the vine.
Gotcha.
So you can cut yourself off from God and those values and move that foundation and be okay for a little while, but it deteriorates after a while. And we see that happening too. But you also can just get rid of the values and everything, which is what the far left likes to do. They want to get rid of Western civilization altogether. There's a reason why Western civilization is so good and prosperous and flourishes so much. And people get, like I said, they get smacked upside the head with reality and they realize this isn't workable.
The Judeo-Christian principles that this nation was founded upon worked. I agree with you. And through them, and of course, through the grace of God blessing that principle, produced the greatest nation on the planet. Marxism and all those things, they work up to a point. In other words, they get people wanting change and upheaval to a certain point until their lives start becoming miserable and their lives become affected. And I'll tell you what.
The God of the copybook heading comes back. It's a Rudyard Kipling poem talking about how the things that are true and right and work, they will always show back up and people will realize we got to go back to the way things were.
And this is why the media is so complicit in what's been happening, because the media's job as allies of the progressive movement, that's all they are. Let's understand this. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming more evident all the time. But their job is to try to hide or gaslight the situation so that even when things are going bad, like the high inflation they keep trying to cover up, nobody will notice it. Bidenomics was intended to be a rallying cry for a false impression that everything was improving. Maybe it's taking a little time, but that's being blown off the landscape. Again, it's being revealed, and people are seeing it, and they're feeling it, and they're saying, Joe, you got to go.
Well, the media is saying now in no uncertain terms that the truth is not their goal. They're saying the narrative.
Right.
And the goal we want to accomplish to move society in a certain direction is what's important, not the truth. That lady that's now the head of NPR, you might have seen her quote saying that the truth is really a distraction. Our fealty to the truth is a distraction to what we really need to be doing. And I think that she thinks that she's being noble and smart when she says that. But what she's really saying is that the news people, the media, they have a goal. They're trying to get somewhere. They're manipulating people to get to that goal.
Right.
And you know, I don't know about you, Cleve. I don't like being manipulated.
But people are seeing that now. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be done.
It's
David,
out in the open.
But it's supposed to be hidden.
Yes.
That's supposed to be and thank God. And again, this guy, as far as I know, is not a Christian. He is certainly not a conservative person. I'm talking about the NPR longtime senior editor there, who began to say there are not any representation of Republican or even conservatives in this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right. Now, he's not a conservative, but he's a principled man. And he says, we need to be able to represent or show all sides, and we're not doing that. And now, of course, he's out.
But well, because somebody like him recognizes that half of the country thinks this way.
Right.
And so if we're NPR, National Public Radio, we ought to be representing as much as possible everybody.
Yeah.
And that's one thing about the media when they talk, the way they talk about literally half of the country is awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's amazing that they can do that. And sleep at night and not get more pushback than they get. But then again, nobody really watches them. So,
well, it's worse for NPR because at least the other networks are commercial. NPR is tax supported. Your taxes and my taxes help support them.
Mm-hmm.
So of all media outlets, if any should at least aspire to some type of objectivity, it should be the quote unquote public media of NPR and educational television, but it ain't so.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's coming out. That was not supposed to be coming out. That guy's standing up. By the way, he doesn't have his job any longer. But that encourages me that there are people, principled people out there. So way to go. And again, that's the silver lining behind what's happening. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are finally seeing. I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to gaslight us about Joe Biden, because I still believe, and you still hold your position, and your position actually looks stronger than mine right now. I still believe ultimately he will not be the nominee for the Democrat Party?
Well, I wonder about that, Cleve. So what is the, you may know this, you may not, what is the mechanism if Joe Biden, God forbid, dies in June?
Yeah.
That's 2 months from now. Something happens to him and he obviously can't run for president because he's even more dead than he is now.
Right.
Who runs on the Democrat ticket? What do they do? Is it his running mate that takes over?
I'm not exactly sure how it works, especially because that's an incumbent president. But it has to be some mechanism because the same thing could happen in the Republican.
Yeah, it could happen to anybody of any age. But
so because they are more mechanized than we are, in other words, to me, they actually have an apparatus that literally rules, okay, what they say goes. If something happens to Biden, by the way, he stumbles and cannot get up, all right, they already have it in place what they're going to do.
So, but I guess my question is,
how do they do that?
Can they just swap out anybody for Joe Biden? In other words, could they just stick in, Gavin Newsom in that spot, or does it have to be? Because when you run for office in this country, you have to register. You know, there's all kinds of rules and laws and things. And so
somewhere or another,
there's got to be a secession of some type.
Well, in the case of an incumbent, it should be Kamala.
But I'm going to say you would think that she would move to the top of the ticket.
Right.
If that were to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. But my point is, it's going to happen because, again, the guy is looking bad. He's making him looking bad. And the worst that and when it becomes more obvious that he doesn't have it right now.
You know what, Cleve?
They got to do something.
I really think even in a lot of cases, the ticket has already been set. Does it happen? Maybe it happened at the convention.
Yes.
What just happened in my brain is realizing that if something happens to Joe Biden after the convention, which is coming up in just a few weeks, his name is still going to be on the ballot in a lot of these states. If he, God forbid, dies, like I said, in June, people will be going in and voting for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as the. Democrats, I think that's how it would work. How amazing would it be if Democrats go in to vote for a dead guy?
Well, we don't know.
Dead guys voting for a dead guy in many cases, if they're Democrats.
I don't believe it's going to be his death. He's just going to become incapacitated completely and not able to run. But the mechanism, we'll have to look into that and try to find it out.
I really think that, especially if he's incapacitated, people are going to vote. His name is going to be on the ballot. People will be voting for Joe Biden, even if he's a total vegetable in a wheelchair and everybody knows that he can't function anymore, even though he's really not far from that right now.
But they will, whoever the Democrats, the National Convention, or whatever they would do in that situation, same thing with GOP, it'll be understood who will be the president, even if the other guy's name is on the ballot, because the other guy can't be president. It's going to happen. David, I don't want to hold things up. I mean, there are other things we can talk about. Is there anything that you want to end the discussion with? You always tell me later on about some amazing stuff that you've been thinking about, and I wish we had talked about.
I have really been thinking mostly about baseball because it's baseball season now, and I'm working for a minor league team as well as obviously keeping up with my Atlanta Braves. They're playing real well. Been thinking a lot about that. Not as much about the politics, although I haven't checked any polls in a while. I do know that Donald Trump is on trial and he can't leave
which is the intention of all of this, by the way. Yes.
I saw this week that he actually went and visited a bodega.
It was beautiful. This
actually is politically pretty smart. He visited this bodega where this man was robbed a few months ago.
Right. And he stabbed an assailant.
Ended up stabbing a guy who was assaulting him and trying to rob him, stabbing and killing him, I believe. And he was charged with murder.
Yes, I remember that.
And people got so mad, and the video came out of him defending himself, basically, that he ended up, the charges got dropped. I'm pretty sure the same guy that charged him with murder is the guy that is charging Donald Trump in New York. Is it Alvin Bragg or?
I'm really not sure about that.
Yeah. So I think it's the same guy. So Donald Trump went to visit this bodega, and it's a it's a move he can make to show people law and order. Now, people are criticizing him. He can't win New York. Who cares if people in New York are shouting MAGA and looking for Donald Trump? And he's not going to win it. That's true. However, we live in a media environment.
That's it.
Where a lot of us can see what happened.
That
and we
image
understand
will
the story.
Still stay in the minds of a lot of people way outside of New York. Him going to that bodega where that injustice took place.
As he's finding a way to campaign without being able to campaign.
And that's it.
So he's doing what he can. So that's good. It's going to be really interesting. I mean, if we have one presidential candidate who is dead and the next one is in jail, it's going to be a very interesting election in November.
Well, that was why Haley kept running as long as she did, because she wanted to be seen as the presumptive person to take over should Trump not be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she was trying to establish. And I think she still is holding out hope.
I don't know. I haven't heard anybody talk about Nikki Haley in a long time. Everybody's pretty much forgotten about her as far as my circles. My people that I'm in circles with, they still talk about Ron DeSantis because he's the best and he really ought to be our nominee. Don't at me. Okay. I wish he was. But Donald Trump is a force of nature.
Mm-hmm.
He's a cult of personality.
Yes.
There's no way around that. And so he has won the nomination, although the convention hasn't happened yet. He'll be the nominee. And I still think after everything that's happened, it's amazing. He's got a chance to win this thing.
If the election were held right now, if all the polls are true, if he were held right now, he would be president of the United States. And that's a fact.
I think you're probably right. What do you foresee could save Joe Biden? What is it that could happen that would save him?
All right. And I hate saying it because I think it could happen. If something happened where the elections could not be held, at least not in their proper time, if there was a need for a national emergency, not a pandemic this time, maybe a terror attack. A cell group finally does what they are planning on doing at just the right time. Taiwan is invaded or something. It would have to be something so big that for the sake of the government just maintaining, elections could not be held.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like thinking about that, but these people have shown me, hey, anything's possible.
Well, there's a couple of things I think that could help Joe Biden. One is if Donald Trump actually physically goes to jail, which I don't think is an impossibility. I don't actually expect that to happen, right. but I think it's technically possible that he could be. I do think since this election, just like every election, will hinge on people who are right now uncommitted or they're swing voters, I do think that there's a lot of people that might dissuade from voting for Donald Trump. So I think that could be something. If, for some reason, the economy takes a really, really good turn, which I really also don't see how that could possibly happen in the next few months, but I guess, I don't know, just trying to really use my imagination. If the economy is looking really, really good, inflation goes way down, people are saving a bunch of money. I don't think that doesn't seem like something that's possible.
Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen.
On the foreign front, I don't know. Like if the war in Ukraine and the war in Israel wraps up and they're done with and those issues are gone off the international stage, I think that could help Joe Biden.
It would, but it ain't going to happen.
And I don't think that's going to happen either.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of out of ideas of what could possibly really help Joe Biden. That doesn't mean that at this point he can't win, because he certainly can for all kinds of reasons. But I really think I agree with you that right now it seems like Donald Trump is the leader.
Yeah. If he's convicted of this charge and these trumped up charges and this false case going on, I actually believe it will guarantee Trump would win the presidency. In my humble opinion.
You think so?
I think so. I think that would be too much.
Well, it depends on which charges. So like the one that he's in trouble in New York right now for is the Stormy Daniels thing.
Mm-hmm.
Paying her hush money. And I mean, that's really ugly. That's bad. I don't think he could go to jail for that.
The original charge was a misdemeanor. That was what the original, and they hiked it up, the attorney.
Yeah. So that one's nonsense. Yeah. You know, the Fannie Willis thing, it doesn't look like that one's going to come to a conclusion in time. So I really don't know.
He gets elected, and if he has to, he pardons himself. But David, Great points, great discussion. We got a lot that we didn't get to, but folks can hear this again. How?
Yeah, check it out on Facebook. You can listen to the podcast there. You can also make comments and things like that on our episodes. Find us on Twitter. Make sure you interact with us on Twitter. You can hear the podcast again and again at Spotify or on Apple Podcasts.
David Perry and I'm Cleve Walker reminding you all things do work together for good. Remember that. And join us for another edition next time of Mere Conservatism. Bye-bye.